Good morning. Our scripture text is taken from the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 will serve as our text this morning. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Let's read the context, beginning in verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The church at Laodicea was a wealthy church, but it was a spiritually dead church. It was more of a country club than the church of God. The majority of its people were not even saved, though they talked a good game. Jesus Christ was not even there. He was outside the church. In fact, Jesus was more welcome in the company of tax collectors and harlots in the streets than he was in his own house, which was called by his Father's name. The members of the church at Laodicea were self-righteous for the most part, having a form of righteousness but denying its power. There was no handle on the outside of the church doors and of the homes in which the churches would meet in those days. So just as in this church, the church was locked from the inside. Somebody had to remove the bar from the inside of the doors in order that people might be let in. Entrance could only be gained by he who is inside allowing the entrance of the visitor and the guest. Now, our text, having been fully placed in its context, has wonderful gospel applications. When Jesus comes knocking on the door of our hearts, we must decide whether we will let him in or not. This morning, we shall consider the different ways in which Jesus knocks on the door of our hearts. Each of these knocks of the Lord has a distinctive sound. And so this morning, we shall speak of those three different types of knocks that Christ uses. First, there is the knock of life events, the knock of God's providence, if you will. Secondly, there is the knock of truth, And third, the knock of conviction. First, the knock of life events. This knock is loud, and it usually catches us off guard. Some have called this the school of hard knocks. Man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward, and God can use life's difficulties for his redemptive purposes. Jesus himself had promised that in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for he has overcome the world. Many people have been going about life's business, and then it happens. Sickness comes knocking on the door. Death comes knocking on the door. Marriage troubles come knocking on the door. Children are having issues. And so all of the attendant problems that go with that come knocking on the door. The loss of a job comes knocking on the door of your heart. There are different ways in which we can respond to this, but let us consider these things as the knock of life events and open the door. For as the trials have come, we can be sure that Jesus is coming right behind them. Which of us, when the trials come knocking, would quickly open the door to let the trials in and slam the door shut on Jesus, who is there to aid us in our time of trial, who's coming right behind them? Would we say, "Hurry, sickness, and enter," and see Jesus' outstretched arm right there, the hand before us trying to kind of prop the door open? You know the hand with the nail print in it? And slam the door shut right on him. Yet that's what we do. The trials have come, and the Lord is knocking loudly. In such times, two choices are set before you: prayer or despair. Why do people despair in this life? They know not he to whom they can come for prayer. Or they don't know how to do it, or they're not willing to do it. There was a man who was thankful for the afflictions he experienced. For God taught that man through his trial that his own strength was insufficient for him. That man realized that God's strength might be perfected in his weakness. He realized his need for God's help, and he heard the knock of life's events, and he opened his heart to Jesus. And I can still hear the psalmist today testifying, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word." There are no accidents in God's providence. Everything you have gone through and are going through, every roadway of life, is designed to lead you to the Lord. All of these things are known to him, known to Jesus, who cares for you. Therefore, cast all your cares upon him, for indeed it is true, he cares for you. One says, I am not sure, I really do not believe that Jesus cares for me. For he is there, and I am here. But the scripture says that God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So it is true that he has risen again, and that he is there, and that we are here. But he loves us no less today than he loved those of old, of whom he said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And now, if you hear the knock of life's events, open the door of your heart and let Jesus in today. Then there is the knock of truth. This knock sometimes comes a little bit softer in tone, but the knock is no less urgent. Jesus knocks after this manner also, through faithful preachers and evangelists. Has he not given us the scriptures? And they testify of him. The knock of truth is no less powerful than that of life's events, though its tone may be different. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, for the Jew first and for the Greek also. We read in the book of Hebrews that the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. The knock of truth on the heart sounds this way. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, that is, answering the knock and allowing the Lord in. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who come to him. I don't care who you are, what your background is. The Lord has called all unto himself. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Lord said it. You can mark it down as truth. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, cries the Lord. If Christ cannot get your attention one way, he shall try another. For he desires that all come to repentance, and that none perish. This is the will of God. Not all will come to the Lord, but that's not the Lord's fault. That's our fault. If you will not answer to the knock of life's events, perhaps you may answer to the knock of truth. And if you will not hear either of these, There is still one more kind of knock that Christ will try. You may call it a little bit intrusive. This is the knock of conviction. This is a persistent knock. Many before you have shut their ears to this for a while, only to open the door of their hearts in the end. When the knock of conviction comes, God has you over a barrel. Jesus is knocking for entrance, but you see, there are three persons in the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit is the fifth column. And if he gets inside that heart anyway, no matter what you do, no matter how much you ignore that persistent knock of conviction, you're opening that door. And God the Holy Spirit is going to see to it that you do. Jesus said of the Spirit that when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. Now all of these knocks are employed by the Lord as he stands at your heart's door. The loud knock of life's events, the soft knock of truth, and the persistent knocking of conviction. See what manner of trouble that the Lord takes to save one soul, even yours, and to minister to you on the journey of life. And if you've wandered astray, the Lord will continue knocking until you come back. The Lord has great work to do. A tall order, as it were, for only God can do these things. What's left for you is the easy part. To open the door of your heart. What work must I do to be saved? Well, that question has been asked before. You may not be the first one to come up with that. When the multitudes asked Jesus, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Period. If you believe, then according to God's word, Jesus will enter your heart. We'll close with an illustration which I had recently read in a sermon, a beautiful illustration of a little child who had a very serious heart problem. And he went to the heart doctor, to the cardiologist, and the doctor said, I'm not sure exactly what the issue is, so I'm going to have to take a look into this little boy's heart so that I can see what the problem might be. And the little boy, who was very young, had been attending Sunday school, and he responded to the cardiologist, "Well, I can tell you, Doc, what you're going to find in my heart. You're going to find Jesus in my heart." A faithful servant of God had told this young boy this, and he had took it to heart. And the cardiologist was convicted by this, because although he was a very learned man and a very skilled doctor, a very skilled human physician, he had been drawn away from the Lord over time. And he took it to heart. And he was brought to his knees by this testimony, this little 8-year-old boy. And when the results came in, tragically, the boy only had a little bit of time to live. And so, in the meeting where he disclosed this to the little boy's parents, he said, "You know what? The prognosis is not good. But you know what? When I took a very close look into that little boy's heart, I did see something beautiful and something encouraging that's going to give everybody hope through this trial. I saw Jesus inside that heart. You know what had happened? Jesus had knocked on the door of that heart through the words of that faithful Sunday school teacher, and that little boy let him in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Will you open up the door of your heart today and let Jesus into your heart?" Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you care enough to knock. We pray that you do your work that hardens sinners this morning. The people who haven't been paying very much attention to you when you come calling might open their heart's door this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.